News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
All right, welcome to the third hour of Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Dalton Orwig here, Sean Sullivan as well, and for Dan Brennan this week.
Reminder, too, you got those flash flood warnings in effect in both counties going on. Some areas, 5-6 inches of rain overnight. It's still getting a little bit more out there. You know it's flooding because all the TV stations are riding around looking at flood water. For 1 second, because I know we got breaking news to get to, but it must be nice. Which, by the way, Dalton laughs because y'all, that's a phrase that I make fun of.
Yeah,
when people say must be nice.
We have around here.
Yes, the must be nice game. But it must be nice. TV, like, you can do other news, or you could just, because people are going to, we're going to drive around and look at flood water.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like a great day to be, actually.
And then always have the reporter, like, anytime they're standing out, like, they're only 5 or 6 feet from the dry land, but they either roll their pant legs up or go get a wet, or have some, you know, have a pair of knee boots and rubber knee boots and go out and stand in it, even though the camera person is on dry land, and go stand in the water and do the report. So that's, if you want to know what's going on in the TV world, they're showing you flood water. They're riding around.
It's kind of like, but not necessarily exactly like, when CNN, when Anderson Cooper brought his folks down for the pandemic just to see what we were doing at the beach.
Right, right.
And, you know, you could see, or people took pictures of them while they were on the beach, and the cameraman was not wearing a mask and just looked as casual as anyone else out there. And then Anderson Cooper's like double masking, and it's all a lie.
It's for show.
Yeah, exactly. So you mentioned breaking news there, and I didn't realize they were going to rule on this so quickly. But former President Trump, he had a decision on hand by the, what do they call it, the Facebook Oversight Board.
That was the High Court of Zuckerberg?
Yeah, the Supreme Facebook Board, the Oversight Board, was supposed to rule today on whether they would continue the Facebook ban of the former president or relinquish, I guess, the profile back to Trump, and they've ruled. It says the landmark move, Facebook can keep blocking former President Trump from using its platform. That's what the Oversight Board said just minutes ago. Landmark move affirms the company's decision to suspend Trump in January after the U.S. Capitol riots. However, the board said that Facebook must review the decision within 6 months. So they suspended Trump's account right after, it was either on January 6th or the day following. I can't remember exactly when they made that decision. But then they formed the Oversight Board, and now they're coming in with their decision to, what looks like to me, kick the can down the road.
Yeah, so gutsy move. Facebook, really strong backbone and spine there.
That's why you get an Oversight Board, right? To just say, we'll take care of this later.
So what should... We talked about this earlier, and it's one of the three big things, top news stories of the day. You can always check out on the front page of FMTalk1065.com. But the addition of a blog to President Trump's website, where you can share his posts there onto Facebook and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So he's banned, but his messaging can get out. If you're President Trump, do you fight to get back on Facebook? Do you fight to get on Facebook so you can say, no, I don't want it? I mean, do you keep this fight up if you're President Trump to get back on social media? Do you say to heck with it and say, I don't want to be on there and do something else? I mean, what would you do in that situation? If you're former President Trump, do you give a tinkers if you get back on Facebook or Twitter? And how big is that? Or should he continue to do it this way? Should he start another social media platform? You see, there's always another social media platforming. We can talk about what happened to Parler and that shutdown and that, you know,
then they came back. Yeah,
and they came, but then you see, like, Clubhouse, it was going to be a big thing and it's failed. It's hard. Even people think, oh, you just make a website and social
Telegram.
Media platform. Look at the list, the bodies of social media platforms that went away. This idea that you could just launch a new one, it's immediately going to be a success.
Mm-hmm.
For most entities, that's a no. There's just, it's too hard to build up people doing it. But former President Trump, Donald J. Trump, has an advantage with the name and the followers. So I don't know. What would you have him do?
Well, it's almost like the too big to fail with the banks and the Ford, Chevy, all the big car manufacturers.
Mm-hmm.
He made his brand too big to shut down, I would say.
Right. The brand is bigger than the platform.
The brand is bigger than the platform.
So what do you do?
Well, while Facebook has a whole lot more users than any other social media site,
right.
I think it far outpaces Twitter or anything else. Maybe YouTube comes close.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly sure. But I think for Trump's style and what he is good at, Twitter fits him mm-hmm. much better mm-hmm. than Facebook does mm-hmm. with the live action of Twitter. Facebook, you can get on there and it'll show you what happened 5 days ago, yep. six days ago. With Twitter, you're seeing what happens as it's happening.
Right.
And Trump was say what you want about what he was saying, but he was able to drive discussion, and usually that discussion was about him on Twitter. Twitter's already said lifetime ban.
And it was formulaic, though. I just want to make sure everybody knows how the playing went on. So then President Trump would go on Twitter and say something. Okay, not saying that there wasn't some core belief, but he would ramp it up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then the media, many in the media, would be either really shocked or put on a feign of shock,
right?
And then put a news story out about it, which carried his material forward. It was formulaic. People say, "Oh, I can't believe they're reacting like and the big deep states working like." I said, "Y'all, this is a kabuki theater. It's put something up that you want to get a message out. Put something inflammatory on there that causes mainstream media to run, and then write a story about it, and then you get the message out to more people." I mean, it was like 2 + 2 = 4.
It was almost like a production line where
assembly line.
Yeah, an assembly line. So Trump throws out the red meat.
Mm-hmm.
Those that don't want to follow Trump on the social media because they're anti-Trump, they would then click on the articles that the media would put mm-hmm. out there about the tweets.
Then they'd get outraged or whatever.
And then you get Trump at the press conference, mm-hmm. and you get the response from the response mm-hmm. of the Trump tweet, and on and on and on it goes.
Perpetual energy machine.
Yeah, the Facebook ban, I think what's most important to him, if he gets into the race for the 2024 presidential election, which I still think he will jump into that race. A lot of people, I know Liz Cheney and some others said that they don't think Trump stands a chance in the primary.
Well, of course, she's going to say that.
Yeah, of course they're going
to
say
somebody,
that.
I'm not saying that he does, but I need somebody who doesn't have a direct dog in the hunt to say whether they think he has a chance or not.
So I think, depending on what Facebook decides with political advertising, and they've been all over mm-hmm. the map on that, on what's allowed or not allowed as far as political campaign ads go. But that's huge for Trump, the Facebook campaign ad campaign platform. Mm-hmm. If they don't allow him to do that, I think that actually could play some kind of role in whatever race is coming up, whether it's him that runs or Trump Jr. or Pompeo, whoever ends up, carrying on the MAGA baton. I think Facebook advertising is a big deal to him. And if they don't allow, would that even be legal? If Trump runs against Biden again here, or if Trump runs against Kamala, would the Facebook ban carry over into advertising for Trump or just personal Trump accounts? And if it does carry over into advertising, yeah. Well, if it does, if they are banning him from running ads, will they allow the Democratic challenger or Republican primary challengers to run their ads on Facebook?
But
then you're
not
running into some Supreme Court stuff there.
Well, but they're not going to be. See, the constraints we have, and I've had to explain it to people too, with political ads on the station. So we have the FCC that controls part of what we do, and then the FEC. So we have to deal with both, and we can't make decisions. If there's an ad that's so far over the line that I can easily prove that it's complete lies or this and that, then I have to, as an owner, I have to make a decision. But outside of that, somebody could run an ad, a political ad that says they're going to shut down FM Talk 106.5, and I got to run it.
Yeah.
So, but it's different. The social media is not like broadcast TV, broadcast radio.
Right. Yeah. They've got their own rules. And what does Section 230 play? Mm-hmm. How does that play into the FEC rules? I don't know. There's still so much to figure out in this new world of ours.
All right. We'll hear from you at 343-0106. Also, an update from our traffic department. So, County Road 12 closed east of Highway 59 in Foley. I know that affects a lot of y'all over there. Flooding. They got the barriers up and the officers are on site. That's coming from Kane in the traffic department. Once again, County Road 12 east of 59. in Foley is closed at this point with that flooding going on down there.
All right. Be careful out there on the streets. Hey, coming back. So this video went viral recently of a college student doing a Zoom class like so many have been doing, and they're talking about police. And this college student says policemen are heroes and stands up for the blue, and his professor and another student just absolutely go in on him, and he stands his ground. I'm going to play that audio for you coming up, and we'll talk a little bit about backing the blue and what it looks like to be a law enforcement officer in America these days. More on that coming up. Mobile Mornings. We'll also turn up your voice, 343-0106. You can text that number. But I'm looking at Sean, and he looks like he wants to talk to you on the phone line. So
yes,
if you give us a call, that'd be much preferred.
Also, if you want to do something on the text line, being Cinco de Mayo, if we're going to do some fantastic Mexican food here at our studios, Mobile area, where should we order from today for lunch during midday Mobile? Let us know on the text line. We'll be right back.
Buenos dias.
Buenos dias también.
I was about to try to say
that. Hablar español ese día.
Ah, sí, sí.
Bueno, tú puedes hablar español.
Sí, sí.
You get the CC part of it.
C. That's all I got.
Mobile boarding.
I got Cerveza.
Yeah, that's good.
I know that one. I was about to try to tell the time, but I've clearly lost it. I swear to you, Sean, I did probably five years of Spanish class between high school and college, and I can't remember a lick of it.
You know why? They teach you at the wrong age.
Should it be younger?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can, when you're learning English, you can learn any other language just as easily.
Great point.
Right? But we wait till our brains are, teenage brains aren't exactly solid cement, but it's getting a little tackier.
Yeah.
You can't walk on it, but you could touch it and it wouldn't. So at that point, it's a lot harder to learn the language. You do it when they're young, different story.
And, you know, quick detour here, by the way, Mobile Mornings.
Hey, y'all.
Sean Sullivan. My daughter, who's 2 years old, we said we weren't going to put her on the technology for a long time. Failed at that. And she knows her way around YouTube. But so many of the videos she watches.
She watched a lot of Alex Jones before the deplatforming.
Yeah, well, you know, after she gets through her InfoWars, then she picks up the kids' videos. Lots of singing, lots of songs and stuff. But she watches a lot of Spanish videos. And I'm wondering, like you said, the younger you are, I'm wondering if she's soaking any of that up and if it'll make it easier for her to maybe be bilingual.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You open those channels and you get that stuff going, and it's easier to come back and fill in, which, by the way, also filling in, thank you. We're getting all kind of suggestions here on where we should get lunch from. So it's Cinco de Mayo. We'll have I think we do this most times. We have some Mexican for lunch during midday Mobile. And so suggestions coming in. This is in the Mobile area. Because, I mean, if you can give me a great place, it's at Orange Beach, and that's cool. I might be able to go there sometime, but it's not today.
Yeah.
You know, and I need somebody, we can go get it or get it delivered here for midday.
I wonder what the best Mexican restaurant in Mexico is. I wonder if there's some kind of polling out there on that.
You know, and it's a different kind of.
It's not the same, right? It's not Americanized.
It's not the same.
Obviously.
And I had a friend for a long time who was, lived in Mexico till he was 20-something years old and moved here. And it was different because the Latin food that I grew up eating was Cuban and Central American. And then I would go eat his home and with his parents, eat home style Mexican food, which was very different than Tex-Mex. I got to tell you, I'm more into Tex-Mex than I am the traditional.
Yeah,
but,
me too.
But so, yeah, these great suggestions coming in here. So thank you.
So, you know, videos go viral all the time. And usually I feel like I'm a pretty good collector.
You're the best I know.
I'm able to see most of them. This one completely slipped past me over the weekend. I guess this made its way around the internet. It's a kid that's in this, I should say, a young man that's in this college class, Cypress College in Cypress, California, and they're doing the online learning thing like so many have been doing. And it looks like this session that ended up going viral, you have this young man, and he's talking about police being heroes. It's almost like some debate class. And then the professor jumps in, and like so many of these, you know, liberal professors that we hear of that hate law enforcement, the defund the police movement. She keeps interrupting this kid and won't let him talk, and he does a great job. He has a career in TV or radio on the way. It's a 3-minute clip here, but you're going to love this. Let me
So the players here is the student,
you've got the
teacher, and another student?
Yeah, so you've got the pro-police student, you've got the teacher who's anti-police, and then you have a kind but also anti-police other student who jumps in here.
Okay.
Here's the audio from this video that went viral. You're going to love this.
Great. All right, so you brought up the police in your speech a few times. So what is your, like, what is your main concern? Since, I mean, honestly, the whole reason police, I mean, it is systemic. The issue is systemic because the whole reason we have police departments in the first place, where did it stem from? What's our history? Going back to what Jeremy was talking about, what does it stem from? It stems from people in the South wanting to capture runaway slaves.
Maybe they shouldn't be heroes. Maybe they don't belong on a kid's show.
So I disagree with what Jeremy said about it, because I think cops are heroes and they have to have a difficult job, but we have to have
all of them. Life.
I'd say a good majority of them. You have bad people in every business and every part.
Police officers have committed atrocious crimes and have gotten away with it and have never been convicted of any of it. And I say this as a person who has family members who are police officers.
Yes, I understand. And this is what I believe. This is my opinion. And this is, not popular to say, but I do support our police. We have bad people, and the people that do bad things should be brought to justice. I agree with that. But I think that, say it again.
They haven't.
Well, I agree with you on that point of they should, right?
Okay, so what is your bottom line point? You're saying police officers should be revered, viewed as heroes? They belong on TV shows with children?
I think they are heroes in a sense, because they come to your need and they come and help you. And they have a problem just like every other business, but we should fix that. But I think that they're heroes.
I think that's the problem, is looking at it as a business, because they're actually supposed to protect and serve the people.
They do protect us. Who do we call when we're in trouble and someone has a knife or a gun?
I wouldn't call the police.
Why wouldn't you call the police?
I don't trust them. My life's in more danger.
Who would you call?
In their presence.
Professor, who would you call?
I wouldn't call anybody.
Well, would you have, if someone intruded your house with a gun, would you have a gun on you, or who would you call?
It's my time to go.
Okay.
I'm not going to be
shot in your house with a gun. There's not much you can do at that point. Calling the police is kind of just,
And I know that it's not popular for me to say that to you guys and people in here, but that's what I believe about the police.
Okay.
And,
thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for listening to my point. I appreciate it. Thanks.
I will say, I'm glad you did say that, even if I disagree with you. It's important.
Yeah, and we should fight for the right for people to say things that we don't even like, right?
I may not agree with what you say, but I'll fight for your right to say it.
Amen, brother.
Within some extent, I'll say.
Okay, folks.
Then she kind of shuts it down there, but he handled that about as well as you possibly could, I feel.
Do you see the look on my face?
Yeah, you were stunned. I think the most stunning part, just judging by your reaction, was when he said, who will you call if someone breaks into your house with a knife or a gun? And she said, no one.
That is emblematic. There's so much to talk about there, but that is emblematic of a bigger problem. She's got some political idea, right? And even when you offer a logical situation where she can say, well, in this exception, I would, or this or that, or she can't let go of her team. And she says stupid things. And she teaches.
Well, do you believe her? Do you believe if someone broke in that she wouldn't call 911?
I don't, but the fact that she would not admit to that, so she's not intellectually honest, or she's a moron. You can disagree, but wow.
835 FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for listening to Mobile Mornings with Dalton Orwig and Sean Sullivan in for Dan Brennan today. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, guys. You mean I get the privilege to talk to Sean Sullivan today?
He's here. can talk to him if you want to.
Done deal.
You know, Louie, I'm looking out the windows and overcast day, rainy day. That's a good time to be reminded that the body shop at McConnell Automotive is top notch.
That's right. Gary and the guys and the girls back there take care of all your needs, insurance, whatever you got. Call them up, 251-476-4141 if you have that unfortunate accident. They'll take care of all your stuff. And check our website out if you're going to get a new car, McConnellAutomotive.com. We've got plenty of used cars. I know the lot looks kind of rough, but we got them all in service and in detail. Trying to get them out, it's going to be tough detailing cars today, but we'll try to get a few out. I know they've been hard at it taking pictures for them, and the new cars, got a few trucks out there, got a bunch of stuff working, and should have some more inventory coming in shortly. So just check it every day. If you're looking for something special, give Gene or I a call, 251-476-4141. We'll try to find it for you. Don't forget, we'll buy your car too. Just give us a VIN and the miles, and we'll give you a price right over the telephone.
It's that easy. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Right, 837, phone line 343-0106, 343-0106. Thank you for the suggestions on the text line as well for lunch today. They're, I'm looking for close, you know, I mean, we're at airport in 65, so the general, and the general area, you know, Mobile area, we can have it delivered or run, get it, but, you know, something. Because I'm a fan of the Tex-Mex.
I am too, yeah.
And somebody who isn't, I'm worried about. It's like the people, you know, we have the surveys of the 2% of people don't like pizza. I'm like, okay, I don't know if I trust them. And no. If you don't like, you can't find something Tex-Mex that you like. But let's see, Bariachi, ooh. Midtown, Brandon suggested. I've seen that. I've not gone there.
D here hit a sore spot for us because we had
He said La Cocina.
La Cocina was right next to us. And
that location closed right now.
Yeah, looks like the pandemic did them in.
The one by my house is still there, and we'll make sure to keep them rocking and rolling. Where Taco Mama suggestion for that? I have not had that yet.
Beef O'Brady's for Cinco de Mayo. I get the joke, but no.
So let's see, which is a temptation because I like to, you know,
zig when others zag.
Yeah, I like to be a pain. But not today. Okay, so yeah, it's a La Taqueria. That's very close to us. I like that place. Let's see. And people say brisket and
Los Rancheros,
Villa del Rey. I saw that. That's a new place. I've not had that. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So a bunch of appreciate those coming in, and we'll sort through these. And I don't know what we'll be having for the midday show, but something for Cinco de Mayo.
Definitely. Getting some text in also about
can we
that.
Get a mariachi band in here to do the bump music?
That would be so
in
cool.
And out of the segments.
That would be awesome.
Are you a mariachi band looking for a gig today?
Live bump
music.
Yeah,
like when we come in and out of each segment. It's Midday Mobile, and then you have the mariachi band in studio mic'd up here.
Yeah, and they can holler and whoop while you're giving your monologue to start the show. I think that'd be a great time.
I think it'd be fantastic. Also getting a lot of text about that audio you just played about this. It, once again, said that was a professor interacting with a student and another student, right?
So to follow up, this is that video came from Cypress College, and the professor who argued with one of her students, Braden Ellis, is the name of that student, and he gave a presentation on cancel culture and police, and this class was for verbal communications, and then they had a discussion after his presentation, and the professor, not happy with his pro-police sentiment, continues to interrupt him throughout the exchange. And then you have another, I would say, a student who's more kind than the professor, but is on the same side as her as far as law enforcement is concerned, and you heard it there in the audio, he says, you know, the same thing that we've been kind of saying here at the station forever. Most police officers, not just most, but a vast majority are good people who are and should be considered heroes. But every profession has, you know, a few bad eggs. And that's exactly what he said there. And the professor was not having it. And he even asked her, what if someone broke into your house and had a knife or a weapon on them? Would you call the police? And she was so so encamped in that one side of the discussion that she said, no, it's more dangerous for me to call the police when someone's breaking into my home than it is for me to not call the police. And he said, well, you know, what are you going to do then? She said, if it's my time to die, it's my time to die.
She's a fool. She's a fool. So let's make a more nuanced discussion to make this fair. Like, if the professor would have said, because we talk about it, we have lots of folks from law enforcement in on the show, a lot of folks in law enforcement listen, but a lot of my personal friends are in law enforcement. But I will say this, it's, when you say a few bad apples, that is true, but I will also say that they should be held to a higher standard because not all professions, you know, have to have a sidearm on. And the power to use that
right.
in the job. So it's you should hold law enforcement to a higher level and higher scrutiny. I believe that. I believe that because of it's not just they're not just a talk show host. You know, they're somebody who goes to work to enforce the laws. By the way, the laws that are passed by the legislative branch, right? They don't make up the laws, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But cops and their laws, y'all are being fools.
the
legislative
enforcers.
Branch makes up the laws, and then the enforcement goes to law enforcement. But yes, I do agree with holding them to a higher standard because the nature of the job they do. They're, you know, not butchers, bakers, and candlestick makers. They have it. But so let's add that nuance in. If the professor wanted to say, well, listen, we have to hold them to a higher standard because of that, okay, that's fine. And she could say, and I worry about law enforcement. But when she says that she wouldn't call the police if somebody is threatening her, first of all, that's not true.
She's lying.
But she's lying. And she's doing that because it is so important. This is the problem with the discourse in our nation now, that her team, her side, when people get tribalistic and pick a side, it's so important for that to win. You hear this with sport in sports, right? We shouldn't have it in our regular political discourse. Like, you can get super fan and you can watch the call. Right. And the call obviously was correct that the ref made. And they're like, that idiot, that's yeah. the worst call ever. Because the tribalism and the fan base
overrides
any yeah. logic. That's what happens in this discourse today, that she feels like she has to take that 100% to the ridiculous because she can't admit any nuance or subtlety in that argument.
Mm-hmm.
And that is for that. That's for low IQ people.
Yeah.
That's that kind of, and not being able to say that professor should have a little more flex, you think, in the brain and say, okay, listen, I believe all these things, but yes, if I'm in that situation, until we can figure out something else, my best option would be to call law enforcement, but I still believe that they need reform or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's what a normal logical person would say they had that belief. That's not what we heard.
No, and look at the other side of the conversation, the student speaking up on behalf of police, a totally rational, you know, he didn't stay so far on that side of the argument that he started saying ridiculous things. He said, listen, I agree there are bad cops out there, but look at the majority of them and look at who you should call if something happens to you. Some of the texts we've gotten
that's
here.
Like her response is childlike.
So childish. Bob says, that's a serious problem with academia at college universities today. You're just listening to that individual say that she was a professor is absurd. Unnamed texter, professor lives in a socioeconomic reality that average people like you and I will probably never reach. More than likely, she's been insulated her entire life from the dark realities of our society. Chances are she'll never have to call the police for everyday things like burglary and domestic disturbances. She lives in her own little utopian fairyland, and it's actually the epitome of white privilege that she probably vehemently lambasts. What a text. That describes exactly how I feel about so many of the the people that are, you know, defund the police, Black Lives Matter, a lot of them just live in a different reality.
Remember that term that came out, the microaggression term? Can we coin something new here, micro-stupidity? That all over the nation, right now, there's micro-stupidities going on.
I love it. Coming back, I think it's time we'll take a call and then we'll check in with Jeff Poor leading into the Jeff Poor Show. Midday Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile's later, right? 848 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Dalton Orwig, Sean Sullivan in studio today, and we'll talk with Jeff Poor here in just a second. But a familiar name on the line, Dr. Yeah. Lou Campomenosi, joining us.
Hey, Dr. Lou.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. Listen, the simple solution for micro stupidity is to just come get a dose of common sense this Saturday at 11:30 at the Fowl River Community Center. where we're having our annual tax day rally. If you go to commonsensecampaign.org, you'll find a flyer and a map link so you can get there. But we're looking forward to having Jerry Carl, Jim Ziegler, and other speakers. And like I said, if you want a dose of common sense, you'll get it there Saturday at 11:30.
Single dose, not a two-part. It's a single dose, right? You don't have to come back in 28 days?
Yeah, well, we have free hot dogs and hamburgers and all like that. So that's a real incentive to come on out there.
Good stuff. All right, we're in the website once again.
CommonSenseCampaign.org.
Thank you, Dr. Lou.
All right, Dr. Lou, appreciate that. And, well, it's a Wednesday, so that means it's time to get stoned and play some blackjack with and some lottery with Jeff Poor of the Jeff Poor
Show.
That's
what we do all the time.
Yeah, only the medicinal kind, right? Jeff and a long discussion about medicinal marijuana in Montgomery yesterday.
So I watched all about the last 3.5-4 hours of the House filibuster last night. My friend Mike Ball at the podium there, fielding a lot of repetitive questions. I get it. If you don't like medical marijuana, and there's a bunch of different reasons to be against the passage of medical marijuana legislation. However, we didn't see a lot of that last night. We saw a lot of silliness, I thought. A lot of going down a lot of little different rabbit trails, different places, and stuff that wasn't even vaguely related to the topic of medicinal marijuana. And if this doesn't happen, and this causes gambling not to happen, I think it's a bad omen for the conservatives in the Alabama legislature that are opposed to a lot of this, and they are typically people that we would want to support.
Interesting. So, you know, the main players in this medicinal marijuana debate, of course, Mike Ball, who you've been talking about with this for, well, a really long time now. It seems like a lot of the former law enforcement officers have actually been some of the, biggest proponents of the medicinal marijuana bill.
Yeah, and, I suppose either that or they're not as outspoken against it. And there's reasons you could say from a public safety standpoint, people were getting on opioids, hopped up on opioids, and then going out and driving or doing something that puts them in harm's way, endangering public safety versus medicinal marijuana, which makes that of a less likely occurrence. But all that is kind of a side argument. I just thought if you're going to be against this, the guy who has the best argument is the attorney general. You don't want to pass a law that violates a federal law, even if it's not enforced or not, you know, being funded to be enforced or any of that. But the arguments were, well, we're going to be Colorado. Well, you know, what about what happened to Rob Bramblett? And it was just a lot of these, I thought, very poorly constructed pushbacks and arguments against medicinal marijuana.
You know, you think about, okay, so let's say if you don't admit that there is a stepping stone through medical marijuana to recreational, you're not telling the truth. But at the same time, this law, you know, it doesn't itself become a recreational marijuana bill. It would have to be something new in the state. And you think about the exceptions, like the people bringing up yesterday, those emotional exceptions or their problems with the law. Go watch evening news and see the drugs they advertise and realize that half the commercial is the side effects that come with this drug that they're pushing on people every day. What about the fact that you could say the side effect is there some chance that somebody could get their hands on marijuana that wouldn't have previously? Is that 0.006%? Is it 1%, 2%? Is that an acceptable risk when people can get medicinal value from it? And I'm on the same page I've always been. I say yes.
It really got into the silly land about why anything that could happen. There's a lot of, you know, I get it. There's a stigma associated with marijuana as a whole. But, and like you said, the gateway to recreational use, maybe that's it. But who's to say that's not to happen in the future anyway? Who knows what's going to happen? Why are we trying to pass laws with what may be passed by a future legislature 10, 20 years down the road? That should never be in the criteria, I don't think, because, you know, people – people vote their conscience and they vote members to the legislature and they make those decisions. However, it got to be what I think is going to happen, Sean, is if they don't get something through and they fail on these two marquee items, the casual public not really engaged with the Alabama legislature. This is two things that are high profile that they watch. They just run out the clock. I think it's going to be a black eye for the people that typically support the kind of causes that, conservatives champion.
So where do you think we stand with the medical marijuana bill now and with the gaming bill? I order a lot of food delivered to me, and, some of those apps, once you could track your delivery as it's coming in. And if you've been tracking these bills as they've made it through this legislative session, it's like the person keeps turning around and going back to the restaurant before bringing the food to your house. How close are they to delivering that food to the people of Alabama, or will it ever make it to the house?
Well, that I don't know. I think that's there's just not enough time left for a lot of this. So perhaps on medical marijuana, Dalton, I think they're going to bring it back this morning here in a few minutes when they gavel back in. And we'll see if this has the steam to continue down the road. But when there's one theory out there that this is all kind of a sideshow, that the longer they can run this marijuana issue, the less likely they have to go and deal with the gambling issue.
Hmm. So and what do you see about how many changes can be made or stuck with in this House bill that the Senate wouldn't balk at? I mean, you know, say is there a poison pill in there that you go ahead and put in the House bill that just you act like you're actively trying to do something with it, but you know when it goes to the Senate, they won't play ball
on gaming or on marijuana?
On gaming,
I think there's a lot of poison pills in the House version versus the Senate version. Most of it has to do with where the money goes. I think the money is such a big component, and that's where it always has died in the past. This time it's a little more elaborate, a little more complex. But some of the other things, it takes power away from the legislature, gives it to the governor. No secret around Montgomery, and I've talked to a lot of the members. This bill that the House is looking at originated from the governor's office. The governor's office was responsible for authoring it. It's very executive friendly, let's say, compared to the Senate version. I don't know why the House continues to cede its ground and defer to the governor's office. There's something going on there, but and this was true with the CARES Act. But in this circumstance, I think the Senate's you're gonna lose those one or two votes you need to get it over the 3/5 threshold with the constitutional amendment and the enabling legislation with a lot of the stuff the House has put in there. So there's not just one poison pill. There's several poison pills.
So I mean if you're betting on this, Jeff, what are you betting?
Well, this is what could happen. The House passes theirs, the Senate passes theirs. You got to watch and see what happens in conference committee, where they can just come in, substitute the Senate bill back in, and then force it to an up and down vote in the House. It's still not out of the realm of possibilities. It's just, do they have enough time to get it to that finish line?
Well, you got the time question when it comes to special session, because what we're looking at today and then the sine die day, right? And then you're into special session land.
And we heard from Senator Elliott on Friday. It doesn't sound like there's a lot of members that are really into the special session. It's not their call. That's the governor's call. But what have we known about the past watching this governor, particularly last year with COVID?
Has issued a flash flood warning for southern Mobile County in southwestern Alabama until 3 p.m. Central Daylight Time Wednesday. At 8:57 a.m. Central Daylight Time, Doppler radar indicated thunderstorms producing heavy rain across the warned area. Additional rainfall amounts of 2 to 4 inches are possible in the warned area, which will fall on saturated ground. Flash flooding is ongoing or expected to begin shortly. Hazard: flash flooding caused by thunderstorms. Source: radar. Impact: flash flooding of small creeks and streams, urban areas, highways, streets. streets and underpasses, as well as other poor drainage and low-lying areas. Some locations that will experience flash flooding include Grand Bay, Bayou La Batre, Dolphin Island, Codem, Alabama Port, Del Jeps, Kiriwaka, Dixon Corner, Fowl River, South Orchard, Faustinas, Monday Lewis, Smithport, Bailey's Corner, Laurentide, Bellefontaine, and Sunny Cove. Turn around. Don't drown when encountering flooded roads. Most of flood deaths occur in vehicles. Repeating, a flash flood warning has been issued until 3 p.m. Central Daylight Time for the following county, Mobile, Alabama.
Does it? That does it for Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Jeff Poor Show coming up here. Congressman Gary Palmer joining the show. Also, State Representative Andrew Sorrell and former State Senator Dick Brubaker. Mobile Mornings coming back tomorrow at 6.